This is the Adventist World Radio, and you are listening to The Voice of Hope. For more information, please feel free to write to us. Our email address is bible@awr.org, or you could also call us on WhatsApp at +1-224-222-0777.
Hello and welcome to WaveScan, the international DX program from Adventist World Radio. Researched and written in Indianapolis by Dr. Adrian Peterson and in Los Angeles by Ray Robinson. And produced in the studios of WRMI Shortwave in Okeechobee, Florida. I'm Jeff White. This is WaveScan edition NWS 793 for release on Sunday, May 5th, 2024. On the program today, TWR Monte Carlo. We'll continue our visit to DocuFunk in Vienna and our DX report from Japan with Yukiko Tsuji. Well, 63.5 years ago, in October 1960, Trans World Radio, now the largest Christian broadcaster in the world, began transmitting from a facility in Monte Carlo. Last week, Ray Robinson in Los Angeles covered their early beginnings as the voice of Tangier in the Tangier International Zone. Now, here he is with the story of broadcasting in Monaco, and Transworld Radio Monte Carlo in particular.
Thanks, Jeff. The small independent European principality of Monaco is a microstate located on the French Riviera, just 10 miles west of the French border with Italy. This country is listed as the second smallest in the world, with only the Vatican State being smaller. Monaco is a little more than 2 miles long east to west, and at its narrowest point it's only 200 yards wide. The total area is just 3/4 of a square mile, and almost a quarter of that total area has been recovered from the Mediterranean Sea. The capital city of Monaco is Monaco, although another well-known city in this tiny enclave is Monte Carlo. The total population of Monaco is around 39,000. The country obtains much of its revenue from tourism, with 1.5 million people flooding into the area each year. The national flag of Monaco has 2 horizontal bars, red at the top and white at the bottom. And surprisingly, the Monaco flag's exactly the same as the flags of both Indonesia and the German state of Hesse, though the dimensions are slightly different. The country of Monaco is also well known for its casino, the Formula One Monaco Grand Prix car race, the Monte Carlo Rally, run annually since 1911, and the Tour de France bicycle race, which always passes through the principality. Monaco issues its own colourful postage stamps and also its own banknotes and coinage, now of course in the Euro series. It was back in the year 1956 that the American Hollywood actress Grace Kelly married Prince Rainier of Monaco in a highly publicised wedding ceremony. The reigning Grimaldi family traces their dynasty back to the year 1297, when the first of their clan took over the throne. This little southern European country was named by Greek seafarers who set up their own colony in the 7th century AD. And then 600 years later, the area was re-established as an Italian colony, dependent upon the city of Genoa. Even though Monaco is an independent country, it is heavily dependent upon neighbouring France. It was back in 1923 that initial consideration was given to establishing a radio station in Monaco, though nothing definite came of this matter until some 20 years later. During 1942, discussions for the establishment of a new international shortwave station took place between the government of Monaco and the governments of both Germany and Vichy France. In May, a permit was issued for the construction of a powerful shortwave station that could give wide area coverage for Nazi German radio programming. Work on the new station moved slowly, though 2 shortwave transmitters rated at 100 kilowatts each were ordered through the Indonesian government, although they were never delivered. A new transmitter building was built into the side of Mont Argel, behind Monte Carlo, and located actually in what is officially French territory. Radio Monte Carlo had an official opening ceremony on July the 17th, 1943, with the well-known French actor Maurice Chevalier as the master of ceremonies. For this, they utilised a small 200-watt shortwave transmitter located in Monaco itself, and also a medium-wave outlet via the already established transmitter of Radio Méditerranée on 1240 kHz, located some distance away at Antibes in France. A little over a year later, this wartime Radio Monte Carlo was closed. So although Herr Hitler had paid for the construction of a superpower station, it wasn't finished in time to be used by his regime. In July 1945, Radio Monte Carlo was reopened by the French, first with a 300-watt shortwave transmitter on 6130 kHz, and a year later a 10-kilowatt medium-wave transmitter on 410 meters, 730 kHz, was added. Both of these units were heard by international radio monitors in England. 1 year later again, a 25-kilowatt shortwave transmitter was installed, and this was noted on air in the United States as well as in New Zealand and Australia. Meanwhile, across the Mediterranean, from the south coast of Spain, the city of Tangier enjoyed a status known as the Tangier International Zone from 1924 to 1956. In this zone, there were no controls on broadcasting, and as we explained last week, in 1954, an American by the name of Dr. Paul Freed founded a station known as the Voice of Tangier, first by buying time on the commercial Radio Tangier, and then by installing his own shortwave transmitters. His initial vision was simply to broadcast to Spain, where under Franco's government, Spanish Protestants were forbidden to evangelize or distribute Christian resources, but the vision grew quickly from there. When Morocco gained independence in 1956, the Tangier International Zone was reunited with the rest of the country, and all broadcasting in Tangier came under government control. In April 1959, it was announced that all stations would be nationalised at the end of that year. Dr. Freed began serious negotiations with Radio Monte Carlo about the lease of airtime. In his book Towers to Eternity, Dr. Freed explains that Monte Carlo was the only station in Europe at that time, and at any price, that would allow him the privilege of broadcasting the gospel full-time, and indeed it remained so for more than another decade. In September 1959, he signed a contract with Radio Monte Carlo for the establishment of a large shortwave station, the transmitters for which would be installed in the by-then-disused building in the side of Mont Argel. The terms of the agreement were that TWR had to buy the transmitters, but they'd be owned by Radio Monte Carlo and then leased back full-time to TWR for their exclusive use. An antenna system was constructed in a strategic location high on the bluffs of the Southern Alps, overlooking the Mediterranean. It consisted of mostly high-gain curtain antennas with 21 steel-framed towers up to 175 feet high. They had one antenna each for the Middle East, the British Isles, Scandinavia, and Russia. There was also a reversible antenna which reached Spain on one side and Eastern Europe on the other, and several stacked dipoles with reflectors and directors which gave coverage into the nearby countries of Italy, Germany, and France. The Voice of Tangier closed on December 31, 1959, and TWR Monte Carlo went on the air for the first time on October 16, 1960, just 9 months later. Initially, they had just one 100-kilowatt shortwave transmitter under the official call sign 3AM5. A second 100-kilowatt transmitter was added the following year, plus a 500-kilowatt unit in 1982. TWR studios and offices occupied three floors of a multi-story building in Monte Carlo, and over 18,000 letters from listeners were received in the first year. At the height of their operation in Monte Carlo, TWR was on the air from the three shortwave transmitters and 10 curtain antennas, as well as on medium wave from a high-powered facility nearby, and in French on long wave. I personally was first introduced to the programming of Transworld Radio by my grandparents in the late 1960s, who always used to listen to the English programs from 7:25 to 9 a.m. each day. I remember them well on 7290 kHz, which generally provided a very solid, reliable signal. Here's a shortwave sign-on from 1979.
This is Transworld Radio, Monte Carlo, opening transmission to Europe in the 31-meter band. The program which follows will be in English.
On April 1, 1966, TWR began leasing the 400-kilowatt medium-wave transmitter of Radio Monte Carlo on 205 meters, 1466 kilohertz, for early morning and late evening programming in German, French and English. The English segment was from about 10:30 p.m. to midnight each evening. Most programming was American, but in the 1970s, some British-produced programs were added, such as the one for young people called Rendezvous with evangelist Dick Saunders. Here's a medium-wave close-down from March 1971.
This is Monte Carlo. We now conclude the program service of Transworld Radio. Additional English comes your way each evening on this same wavelength. Mondays at 10:15 and all other evenings at 10:30. You can also hear English programs each morning on 41 meters beginning at 7:25 British Standard Time and Central European Time. And now we wish you a pleasant good night.
In 1974, a new Thomson CSF medium-wave transmitter was installed, boosting TWR's output power to 1 megawatt in the evenings. From the mid-1970s, though, the frequency became a challenge, because in the UK, many BBC local radio stations started using the adjacent frequency of 206 metres, 1457 kilohertz, and the station where I lived in London did so with 50 kilowatts. Cheap portable transistor radios with only average selectivity struggled to separate the signals, and the resulting splatter on 205 wasn't something to which a casual user would listen. TWR closed their shortwave operations from Monte Carlo in 1996 after a new station had been opened in Cyprus. An evening medium wave relay from Monte Carlo continued until 2020. But since 2022, all broadcasting in Monaco has been on FM and DAB only. On two different occasions, Adventist radio programming was noted over Radio Monte Carlo. Beginning in 1957, for a year or two, the French version of The Voice of Prophecy was heard on three shortwave channels. And for a few months in 1999, Adventist World Radio took out a relay via another medium-wave transmitter on 702 kHz for coverage into North Africa in both Arabic and French. QSLs from Radio Monte Carlo were fairly common, and multitudes of QSL cards have been issued over the years by Transworld Radio Monte Carlo. Back to you, Jeff.
Thanks very much, Ray. Next week, Ray will present part three in our series on the Zenith radio story, covering the period from the mid-1920s up through the Depression-era years of the early 1930s. More details now about the 2024 annual meeting of the NASB, the National Association of Shortwave Broadcasters. This meeting is normally held somewhere in the United States, but this year it's being hosted by NASB associate member Galcom International in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, about halfway between Toronto and Niagara Falls. Shortwave broadcasters and listeners and anyone listening to this program is welcome to attend this free-of-charge meeting on July 22nd and 23rd. We can now announce the first two speakers for the meeting. Fred Waterer, who lives in Ontario, will speak about shortwave programming matters. Fred is the longtime editor of the Shortwave Listener column in the Spectrum Monitor magazine. Another Ontario resident is Steve Canny, longtime DXer. He's been the QSL manager for CFRX in Toronto for more than 32 years. CFRX is the only shortwave broadcast station left in Canada, with the exception of time signal station CHU. So, those are just the first two speakers lined up for the NASB 2024 annual meeting. The dates again are Monday and Tuesday, July 22nd and 23rd, at the headquarters of Galcom International in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. And I can say that both Ray Robinson and myself are planning to be there, and you're welcome to join us. Full details can be found on the NASB webpage, which is www.shortwave.org. That's www.shortwave.org. Then click on Annual Meeting Info. Last week on Wavescan, we had the first part of a visit by Jonathan Marks to the headquarters of an institution called DocuFunk in Vienna, Austria, which was administered by Wolf Harent until he passed away a few years ago now. Wolf was a very important person in the DXing world and hosted the German language DX program on Radio Austria International, Kurzwellen Panorama. Jonathan Marks, who hosted Media Network on Radio Netherlands for many years, got his start in shortwave radio by producing material for the English language DX program on Radio Austria International. The interview with Wolf Harent that we're presenting here was conducted by Jonathan Marks during a visit to Vienna in 2009. And we begin today with Jonathan asking Wolf whose idea it was to establish DocuFunk to archive hundreds of thousands of QSL cards and other radio station documentation.
It's your idea.
Not really. It might be my brainchild. But things exploded. It's the genius out of the bottle, so to say. It started with a shoebox. We didn't anticipate 25 years ago that once this would be the largest and by far the most valid and recommended collection, archive, file, research file, clearinghouse of its kind. There was a time when DXing, as it was called, listening to the world on shortwave radio after World War II, where people listened for other reasons, but during the Cold War became the fashion. Every country had a radio station broadcasting in each and every language to each and every part of the world, because all the other ones also did so. And some of the radio stations, the international broadcasters, offered a couple of minutes with a radio show, just saying that Mr. Jonathan Marks from the Netherlands listened to our station on 6155 with a good signal, and we thank him and play the Blue Danube Waltz just for him. Well, I made a little bit more out of that. A media magazine. I could claim that we invented the media magazine, the journalistic media magazine, because Radio Austria International was broadcasting from an independent country, from a neutral country. It was not part and parcel of the Cold War. It was not part and parcel of the other side. So we had listeners in the East and the West. We had listeners in Israel and in Egypt. We had listeners in India and in Pakistan. The terrorist of the ones is the freedom fighter of the other ones. It's very, very difficult to report unless you take the media as an example. You have something happening and you just relate what the media on both sides told the people. You don't only relate it, you prove it with examples. You start to interview people and you get a huge amount of audience, great, great audience. And this is what we did, trying to be as unbiased as possible. And the media show was the perfect means of being political, very political, without taking sides and without being political. And we created a huge audience of radio listeners. You wouldn't find that in CNN or whatever it is. And if you go to the next media internet cafe, you can look, but you can't listen. And radio is listening. So you can't stop the trend. But it is a pity that a piece of culture, a means of culture, a medium that has its own merits, is going down the drain. Sometimes we feel that we are collecting the end pieces, and then we feel that this will carry on. You and I won't be there any longer, and there will still be a voice talking into a microphone somewhere, and a listener listening to that voice somewhere else. You don't know what will be trash or treasure later on. So we cannot pick and choose, really. We take what we get, and happily enough, we get lots and lots and lots. If a broadcaster closes down a language program, we get the whole stuff. If somebody recorded tapes all his life long, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 tapes, we get 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 tapes. Many of them are of no particular importance. Some are extremely rare. Which one is the extremely rare one? The one you are looking for, because you are an editor, you are a journalist, you are a media buff, your grandfather was stationed there, and you want to get a photograph of his radio station or whatever it was.
That was the late Wolf Harent of Radio Austria International and DocuFunk speaking with Jonathan Marks on the media network Vintage Vault, which has its own webpage on the internet. Let's go now to Yukiko Tsuji in Tokyo.
Welcome to the DX Report of the Month from Japan Shortwave Club, edited by Toshi Otake, and I'm Yukiko Tsuji. We have several DX reports from our club members this week. National Unity Radio via Taiwan was heard on 7340 kHz on April 11th from 1420 to the sign-off at the 1458 UTC in Korean. SIO rating was 533. Talk program with music by male and female announcers in Korean was broadcast. Interference was from jamming from North Korea. TWR Asia via KTWR Guam was heard on 15400 kHz on April 4th from 1244 with interval signal to 1305 UTC. SIO rating was 454. ID in English was given at 1245, then Lord's Challenge program started. Hope with God was aired at 1300. Radio Free Asia via Tinian, Northern Marianas was received on 21565 kHz on April 4th from 1036 to the sign-off at 1100 UTC in Tibetan. SIO rating was 454. Talk and interview program was on the air. ID was given at 1059. Radio New Zealand Pacific was heard on 13690 kHz on March 31st from 0800 to 0810 UTC in English. SIO rating was 454. Time signal was given at 0800, then news started. BBC World Service via Oman was heard on 15295 kHz on April 3rd from 1300 to the sign-off at 1359 UTC in English. SIO rating was 454. World News was aired, followed by News Hour at 1306, News at 1330, and the second part of News Hour at 1332. Radio Romania International was heard on 21550 kHz on April 6 from 0534 to the sign-off at 0557 UTC in English. SIO rating was 333. News and talk program by male and female announcers were on the air. ID was given at 0544. Vatican Radio was received on 17540 kHz on March 31st from 0810 to 0830 UTC. SIO rating was 332. Mass in English was broadcast. Interference was from China Radio International on call channel. Bible Voice Broadcasting via Nauen, Germany was heard on 9810 kHz on April 7th from 1825 to 1840 UTC in English. SIO rating was 252. Religious talk was aired. ID was given at 1830, then gospel song and the talk program were broadcast. Radio Dabanga via Tarata Voronondoli, Madagascar, was heard on 11640 kHz on April 1st from 1730 to 1750 UTC in Arabic. SIR rating was 252. Talk program with some phone interviews was on the air. Finally, Japan Shortwave Club issued QSO cards for the correct reports on our segment of WaveScan program. We are issuing QSO cards by email to the report sent by email. Our address for your email report is jswcqsl@live.jp. I repeat, jswcqsl@live.jp. We continue to issue the printed QSO card by the same system as before. Your report should be addressed to JSWC PO Box 44 Kamakura, which is KAMAKURA, postal code 248-8691, Japan. One ILC or $2 for return postage will be appreciated. For this edition of DX Report, we'd like to thank Mr. Yoshiaki Hayashi, Mr. Iwao Nagatani, Mr. Chiaki Shimada, and Mr. Kazuaki Oikawa for sharing the information with us. Thank you for listening, and please join us for our next edition of DX Report of Japan Shortwave Club. And I'm Yuki Kotsuji.
And we had WaveScan today with music from French singer Jean-François Maurice and his song Monaco, 28 Degrees in the Shade.
Monaco, 28 degrés à l'ombre.
Thanks for listening to WaveScan, the international DX program from Adventist World Radio. Researched and written in Indianapolis by Adrian Peterson and in Los Angeles by Ray Robinson. Next week on WaveScan, our main feature will be the Zenith Radio Story, Part 3. We'll also have our Philippine DX report from Henry Umaray. WaveScan is heard weekly on KSDA in Guam, AWR relays in various locations, WRMI in Florida, WWCR in Tennessee, Voice of Hope Africa in Zambia, and IRRS Italy. Send reception reports directly to the station you're listening to. Reports for KSDA and other AWR sites should go to qsl@awr.org. Other correspondence, not reception reports, can be sent to wavescan@yahoo.com. I'm Jeff White at WRMI Shortwave in Okeechobee, Florida. Till next week, good listening, everyone.
J'éteins ma cigarette. Il fait encore plus chaud. Tes lèvres ont le goût d'un fruit sauvage. Et voilà, comme une vague blonde, tu m'emportes déjà.
This is the Adventist World Radio, and you are listening to The Voice of Hope. For more information, please feel free to write to us. Our email address is bible@awr.org, or you could also call us on WhatsApp at +1 224 222 0777.